Broussard turns down to the corner. Centering pass. Scores! Clark MacArthur has won the series for Ottawa. He stings the bees. Wins the game. Wins the series. Hello, New York!
From Studio 65 in Canada, welcome to an unexpected episode for Monday, April 24th, 2017. I'm Cardinal, Pan and Canuck are here as well. We didn't really plan on this episode, other than we thought it would be a good idea. It's going to be completely free-form, there's no notes, there's no game summaries, nothing. We're making it up as we go along. But we had to get together to talk about an awfully good day in hockey in Ontario yesterday. Not only did the Senators win, but the Leafs lost. So it's just a really good double gift to us. Ben, how you doing?
Well, it's more of a national day with Montreal kind of bowing out
true.
Too.
That's true.
It was a great weekend for hockey.
Very much.
So I guess we're just going to wingles it today?
Yes, exactly. Canuck, how are you?
Have you ever been on a roller coaster?
Yes, hated every second.
Loved it.
I love roller coasters, but I must admit that the last weekend was an emotional roller coaster, which was pretty crazy.
Little difficult, but that's what makes you a fan, not a casual observer of the game.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Quick housekeeping before we start. Email address is podcast@sensecollapse.com. The waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-6565. There are still game threads going on in the forums at sensecollapse.com. The playoff pool is well underway. Canuck is winning. Very strategic choice you made there, sir. Well played. I thought about doing exactly that. I went, no, I can't do that. I really should have, because that would have been funny if we'd both done it.
It was a tiebreaker.
Yeah, we don't have a tiebreaker. So anyway, doesn't matter. You're going to do the game summaries, man?
Sure.
Okay. Well, let's get going.
Game on! So game three. So here we are after, and even we said it, and again, we're more level-headed than the emotional fan, we could say. Just saying, you know what? Craig Anderson hasn't been the best. He needs to be better.
He's been inadequate.
He was not playing up to his level. And I didn't want to mention it on the show, just in fear of jinxing it. But normally what happens when Craig Anderson has a bad game, he follows it up with a shutout. So here we are in game four. 1-0 Sens win.
Oh, that's right. I was trying to remember which game was which.
Craig Anderson was very short with the media.
In the morning.
Kind of as, yep, in the pregame, which one you have a goalie talking to you. Secondly, I think he did it just for his own fun because everyone was bashing him, so he made their jobs a little bit harder.
I thought that was game five.
That was game four.
That was game four.
I can't keep him straight.
So he was tremendous in this game, and I don't want the terms and conditions of NHL.com. This website sucks so bad.
Powered by Rogers.
So if we win a 1-0 game, who would you assume would score? Maybe Hoffman.
I'd probably look at the highest play, highest paid player, right?
You would be right. You wouldn't guess it. Bobby Ryan, 5:49 left in the game.
No, 5:49 into the third.
Yeah, or into the third? Oh, yep. Okay. So,
which just turned into the longest 14 minutes of hockey ever.
Yes.
Awful. Like, just start the car.
And it wasn't start the car because they didn't deserve to win. It was just get out.
Start it and leave. Don't even wait for the game to be over. Leave now.
Yeah. The bus was idling outside. Get to the airport. Go.
Now, next game, clinch game. The Sens are now up 3-1. And we can just end it at home. So Mark Stone scores. 3-2 overtime loss, of course. And it's on Friday at home.
Mark Stone.
So Mark Stone scores halfway through the first. JGP starts the second period with a breakaway goal. 2-0 Sens.
Relax. Foot up.
Just hold on. Just hold on. And yeah, they really did. They really did. Ottawa's favorite, David Pastrnak, scored, followed by Sean Corrali, who I've never heard of before. And apparently they just brought him in to replace Ryan Spooner.
Yeah. I thought there was somebody else who replaced Spooner, but that was in Game 6, not in Game...
No, this is Game 6.
This is Game 5.
No, game 5.
This is Game 5?
It was Sean Corrali.
Yeah, because Krejci was hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess this was part of the story of this game because Chris Weidman ended up kneeing David Krejci. Apparently was chirping him. And that gave Boston the spark, apparently.
Allegedly.
So, yeah. So Pastrnak scores. Corrali ties it. Couple of minutes left in the second. No score in the third, so of course here we go to overtime.
But usually.
But not just one overtime. Two.
Yeah. This was so long.
This game was a frustrating result because the referees handed this game to Ottawa on a silver platter. I think there was two power plays late in the third. They could not get it done. I'm very sure there's a power play in the overtime. Could not get it done.
No, you're right. Because in the end of the third, there's one too many men and one puck over the glass.
Yep.
And you didn't take advantage of either one of them. And it was like one after the other.
Yeah. Late in the period.
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And in the overtime, Corrali scores, but the referees call for goalie interference.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Right. Now, I never watched the replay of it, but apparently a lot of people like Dean Brown, Carey Fraser are just like, that should have been a goal.
I think it should have been a goal.
It was called no goal due to goalie interference on the ice.
Yep.
And the replay, like when they looked at it in the war room, they couldn't find sufficient evidence to overturn that call.
Right.
Goalie interference is referee discretion. They look at the iPad and review it.
But they were looking at it in Toronto as well.
Doesn't matter about what Toronto says. Toronto will discuss it with the referees. It's still the referee's choice.
No, because that's what they said was the call on the ice stands.
You know, who told you that, Romanek?
Talking about it on the radio.
You're on the radio? Yeah, I don't think he goes to Toronto. But anyways, so no goal. Play starts again. They score again, but Pageau gets in the way. May or may not have had his hand on the puck, which would have caused a penalty shot.
Again, silver platter, game handed to the Senators.
Poor Canucks so down even though we won. Second OT, Corrali ends up just getting one right off of Carlson rebound, or Carlson block shot. Off a good face-off by Boston, game over.
And I think what was frustrating about this is not only the way that there's so many chances to close it and they didn't, you could tell. And I mean, this goes both teams, but absolutely they're focusing in on Carlson. The poor guy had been played two games worth already. He's gassed. He's cramping. They show him coming off the bench and trying to skate to keep his legs going. He's completely cramped. And I guess they gave you mentioned were magnesium pills to kind of help with flushing out the lactic acid. And it was the next shift they scored. And it just felt like that could be a momentum-shifting goal for the series. They got a short, less than 48-hour window before the next game. This could get bad, and this could easily come back here for seven. So it was a bad way to end it. Exciting if you're a Boston fan, but sucked if you're an Ottawa fan, and especially had to sit through all that on home ice. But
you got your money's worth. You got an awful lot of hockey for your ticket price.
Yeah, but just when the goal went in, I was the first one up. I'm like, all right, let's go. Because I saw the play development. That's not good. And it wasn't. So
way back.
Next anyway, game. So now we got to go back, play on Sunday. And this is where I kind of wanted a little bit of a rest, too. So scoring starts off. Drew Stafford opens the scoring with about 2 minutes left in the first. Don't remember that at all.
Oh, no, I remember it very well. Again, Ottawa, the first period, was given not one, not two, actually three power plays because a puck's over the glass.
That's not given. That's an automatic rule. That's not a – you see, this is where I was getting –
I agree. They had three power play opportunities because of the pucks over the glass. And I agree. It's the ref got to call it. It's automatic. And Ottawa failed to capitalize on it. And I think only one of them was – maybe you could kind of say was an acceptable effort. A couple of them, they had
one post on the second one, and the third one was a nightmare.
And then finally, Boston got a power play late in the third period, and you knew what was going to happen, and sure enough, it did. Stafford put the puck in the net, and that's the end of the first period, one of them Boston. I believe at this point I was at my all-time low.
all-time?
Wow.
All-time low in sports fandom.
Canucks really taking this whole series real personally and emotionally.
You should probably stay away from Twitter, too.
Then. Like, even I'm just like, calm down.
You're like, it's 1-0. It's like, you don't understand. The whole series is flipping momentum. And this is bad.
Yeah, we're going to lose.
I said, I didn't necessarily say they're going to lose. I said, this is inexcusable. I kept using that word, that they're given three power play opportunities, showed up nothing for those. They might as well decline them because they looked fine 5-on-5.
You aren't familiar with the power play of the 2016-2017 Ottawa Senators.
Of the 2000,
do you not remember the regular season?
Yeah, that's of the 2007-2017 Ottawa Senators.
We had a couple of good games at the beginning of this series where the power play was working. Now everybody expects it to work all the time?
Yes.
That's not statistically relevant.
Well, let's carry on. So it's just second period, early in the period, we're on the power play again. Oh, look, get a power play goal. Goes off of Bobby Ryan.
Never doubted the power play.
Never doubted the power play.
Everybody's back on board.
Okay. Because with this, it was – and now I know during the season that I was giving Ryan grief in regards to being all happy that he was getting goals. But when he's going off of his butt when he's in the middle of the play, why not – this one he was – standing in the lane, doing the right thing, creating the noise, and getting to the right spot, net, front, presence.
That's the key.
Did very well with that through the most of the series, I would say.
Yep. So even though Brassard kind of went for the shot and went off of him, that worked, and that's what you're supposed to do. Beautiful play. Of course, Carlson gets yet another assist.
Of course.
And I believe at this point I wasn't so much excited. I just kind of felt relief. Like, oh my goodness, now we can just forget about that horrible first period and have a new game.
So the game's tied, so you feel relief.
Yep.
Okay, so Kyle Turris scores at 8:32 of the second. So now you have a one-goal lead. Did you feel relief at that point?
Starting to believe. Starting to believe.
No, you didn't.
Or does it start to feel worse?
No, I was still nervous.
Now we're going to blow it. Yeah, exactly.
I was happy that we had a lead, but you're absolutely right. There's no reprieve from the nerves.
It's just a different stress. It's not less stress. It's a different stress.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's all.
And so second period ends. We're up 2-1. 20 minutes to play.
Good time to shut it right down, I think.
Hold on. Don't mess up.
And then?
Well, minute 57 into the third, Bergeron scores to tie up the game.
Of course he did. Of course he did. That was expected.
So, I don't remember anything left of the third.
I actually will honestly say I actually fell asleep for that part of the third period.
Yeah, I had to fly to Halifax.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
no. So I listened to the entire third period on the radio driving to the airport. And, you know, I had this all planned out. So I was parked at the airport. And I think by the time I was there, there's maybe 2 minutes left. So I listened to the final 2 minutes. Oh, we're going to overtime? Okay, grab my bags and let's get through security and everything like that during that intermission. Made it. Got to, like, the airport bar to watch the start of OT.
That's well played. You are a seasoned traveler. Nicely done.
Yeah, it's all about the Nexus pass. So, in the overtime, David Pastrnak, for whatever reason, actually, sorry, let's back that up a bit. Boston's on, I would say, a 2-on-2 break. Cody CeCe's stick breaks. CeCe grabs the Bruins stick, player stick, no call. Comes back the other end. It's like, all right, well, that's fine. MacArthur kind of throws a pick on Pastrnak. Pastrnak hauls him down. Penalty. Only to Pastrnak. Like, these guys are terrible.
Just whatever.
I didn't realize the CeCe thing happened. I did see the Pastrnak penalty, and I thought, you kind of got to call that, but I'll have to rewatch that CeCe thing.
Not really. Like, not really.
He kind of grabbed him and held him down, though. Didn't have the puck.
But don't you?
Yeah, that's my only problem with it. Yeah.
Don't you expect the refereeing, the officiating, to be bad? Like, it's my default.
Not to this level.
No? Well.
And, it's all the same thing. So, who drew the penalty? Clark MacArthur. The Senators head off on the power play. Yes, I know the power play is terrible because even though Bobby Ryan got it off of his body, we screwed up three of these in the first. Well, guess what? Bobby Ryan shoots it. Rebound comes right out to Clark MacArthur. Goal. Series over.
Series over.
That's why you play MacArthur in overtime against the Bruins in the playoffs.
Exactly.
Now, I think I was the only one who cheered. Well, one of few who cheered in the airport watching this.
Really?
Yeah.
Odd.
Very odd indeed.
Now, Canuck, did you save the... did you manage to save the audio of that overtime goal?
It's the it got played in the intro.
Okay.
See, folks, we didn't really talk about what we were doing tonight. We were just throwing it together. I was listening to it on the radio because I was quite sick and I was in bed, and it made me laugh because it took them a second. It took both Dean and Gord a second, and they went. I mean, they were both just stunned that it was. That the goal had gone in because it was such a bang-bang kind of play. And then they both realized who it was who had scored it. And it was, as you heard in the intro, I thought it was a really, really nice moment. The way that they were just, okay, of all the guys who it could have been, it's him. What a perfect ending to this series that is. Like, it can't get more perfect than that. So.
And you know what was amazing? Because I mentioned the third period I was driving in overtime at the airport. But the first couple periods I was watching... at home on TV, and you know, I confessed I was a mess. And after that first period, I switched it to NBC. I couldn't take CBC anymore, Hockey Night in Canada anymore, and Sportsnet.
And it was fine.
I just couldn't take it. I couldn't listen to these same voices anymore, and Bob Cole not calling stuff that's happening, and so I switched to NBC. What's funny is, you know, I've gone back and I've watched the ending of that game several times. NBC, when the overtime was over and the handshakes are done, pretty much when the handshakes are done, it's like, okay, that's a wrap, guys. That was the hockey game, and off. Hockey Night in Canada actually stuck around for a long time and did a lot of interviews, and they interviewed Clark MacArthur and got his parents on the line. I believe they're the feed that showed, you know, Anderson going back up to meet his wife, Nicole, in the stands. The interviews with Carlson, they actually stuck around. I figured for sure they'd be like, okay, Senators win, let's go back to Toronto. Nope.
Well, we got a horse race coming up, don't we? Yep.
But it was actually NBC that was guilty of, okay, show's over, nothing to see.
Well, I think they probably got cut off because of the overtime too.
Oh, absolutely.
I really like that Ottawa is finally getting some recognition. And I know that everyone's calling this Eric Carlson's coming out party. No.
No, he's been around for a while. You just haven't been paying attention.
It's Eric Carlson Awareness Month.
Right.
Oh, my God. Maybe
because there's not much outside of that cycle on the Broussard goal in game 3 or 2.
He's playing hurt. And he came out and told people.
Yeah.
Came out and told
people. But there's not much different.
Because the
slap pass to Ryan, the blind slap pass, I've seen him do that many, many times.
It's a coming out party in the sense of other people actually being aware of how good he actually
is. Eric Carlson Awareness Month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, he was named as a Norris finalist.
Yes, he was. A little bit, about eight hours early by Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Oops.
So who was it? Okay, it was Burns, Carlson, and Hedman?
Carlson, Hedman.
Hedman, yeah.
So Hedman can't win it because their team didn't make the playoffs. That's the unspoken rule, right?
Right. Correct. And Burns can't win it because it's not all about points.
Right. So there you go. And his team couldn't get it done in the playoffs, so he's obviously not a big deal.
He
couldn't get it done in the last 8 or 10 weeks of the season either. Anyway,
to be honest with that, though, if Ottawa wins another series, and we'll talk about that for sure, but if Ottawa wins another series, I think now Carlson will start to get the Nick Lidstrom
treatment. Well, as he should. Well,
just the automatic every year, and the people that say that he can't play defense, there's too much evidence now.
Yeah.
And the hockey writers will actually break at that point. So.
Can I confess something? It's entertaining, and I think it's more entertaining just because of how things went down last year with Drew Doughty. I actually don't really care if he wins the Norris or not. I'm more worried about the team. It's interesting if he wins it. It's kind of cool. I certainly think he deserves it, but it's not like in previous years where, I really, really want him to win it, and I'm going to be, really happy or really sad if he gets it or not. Just, he deserves it, but more about the team award.
Fair enough.
I think that's where they are right now anyway. But
yep.
Now, the playoffs, first round of the playoffs, out of 42 games played, 18 of them went to overtime, which is a new record, by the way. The previous record was 17.
In the first round?
In the first round.
Okay.
18 went to overtime.
Yep.
Crazy. And of the ones that didn't go to overtime, I think it was another 7 or 8 games that were decided by one goal.
Well, every game in this series.
Parody.
But there was a really good breakdown, which unfortunately I was reading somewhere today and I didn't make note of to bring back to attention. But it even broke down how many games had a goal scored in the last 5 minutes, in the last 3 minutes, to either tie it or win it. And there were so many games that were either decided in that period or tied and then had to go to overtime. Parity indeed. It's just so strong.
Yeah.
Well, except for maybe the 4 and out teams. That may not be it.
Which was, Calgary. Anaheim?
Calgary, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only one, I think. Because even Columbus won a game.
Chicago. Oh, Chicago.
But also, didn't San Jose wax Edmonton 7-0?
Doesn't matter. It's one loss.
I know, but
And
then Edmonton turned around and still wins the series.
Yep. You have one bad game.
Shrug it off. Done well.
That's what you need to have for the mentality.
For sure.
One thing about Edmonton, since we're talking about them, after they won, barely saw the team celebrate. They pretty much, even after McDavid got the empty netter, just kind of raised his hand, and then they went and lined up again.
Was it in San Jose?
It was in San Jose, but even at that, they seem to be real serious about this.
Right.
Yeah, that was the game where it was in San Jose, but there were 18,000 people in Rogers Place in Edmonton.
Yeah.
They had, and the tickets, which were sold for $5, were scalping for 50 or more. for people to go and watch the games on TV.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
And buy $12 beer. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. It's only Monday. Jeez. It's going to be a long week, man. I'm telling you, it's going to be a long week.
Well, the next round starts on Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay. Thursday.
Yeah.
Yes. Sleep while you can.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep while you can. Get your chores done. Get your laundry done. Get everything you need to get done so you're ready to go.
Presented three projects at work today. I'm supposed to do 5 in 6 months.
Wow.
Did three today. Have one on Wednesday. Okay, <that's laughs> I was like, there you go. I'm done. Bye.
I'm going fishing on Thursday. So I'm looking.
Yeah, you're missing the home games.
Well, Thursday, it's not Saturday. Like I'd be at them anyway. Yeah, yeah. So, but the cottage we're staying in has electricity and satellite TV, so we'll be able to watch the games on Thursday and Saturday or Thursday and Sunday?
Thursday and Saturday.
Yep. We'll be able to watch them. Well, yep. Saturday I'll be cooking for a birthday party, but Thursday night we should be up there. We have to listen to the beginning of the game on the radio, but we'll be up there by probably 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Yep.
To your point, Pan, about the Edmonton Oilers and being kind of serious in terms of their celebration, I thought actually Ottawa was kind of that way too at the end. Now I know it's a road game, so it's completely different. But after Carlson did his final handshake with Chara, he was the last one off the ice, and he just went straight to the dressing room. I know they celebrated in there, of course, but
and he's the last guy left too.
Yep. So it just we won, get out, let's go. It seemed pretty. Seemed pretty good.
Don't want anything thrown at us like happened in game four. So.
Well, they did have more stuff thrown at them, and then there's the Bruins fans flipping the birds on TV when they scored the overtime goal.
That happens.
It happens.
Yeah.
Nice.
So overall thoughts on the series?
Number one, who would have thought that Brassard would lead the team with 8 points?
Who would think that Bobby Ryan would be one of the top scorers in the league?
Yeah, crazy. I was actually very impressed with most of what the team did.
Yep.
A couple of names which I didn't really see/hear, and I'm wondering why. Like, there may be an underlying reason. Not that I think their play was particularly terrible, just wasn't really noticeable. The two in particular would be, Stolberg. You heard his name from time to time.
Stolberg?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Burrows.
Burrows is invisible.
Didn't really hear much about Burrows.
Was invisible. Stolberg, I thought, was amazing.
Stolberg did his role. He's a fourth liner.
I was going to say, you didn't hear about him a whole lot. I'm not complaining that his play was bad. I just didn't really hear his name very much.
Right, but I honestly think with that, he's one of the guys that you don't really need to hear his name for him to be good. Oh, yeah. Chris Weidman struggled a lot in this series.
Well,
not only in the one game, in this series.
Well, then we have options because he was out for game six.
Yeah.
So?
Ben Harper is impressive.
Shows you what an extra year, shows you what going down to Binghamton for a year can do for you.
Yeah, but even because I was texting with someone down there. It's like, how is he so calm? Like, he's comatose.
Well,
he's just a big stay-at-home guy.
Well, earlier in this year, he was getting in scraps on a fairly regular basis, and they had to tell him, you don't need to do this, okay? You don't need to do this, so don't bother anymore.
Okay. Play your game. He was probably just trying to make the team.
Yeah, well, I mean, continue to make a good impression, and he's a big boy. Big boy.
He's big.
So,
Burrows, I did hear his name actually more on the radio when I was listening to the last game in the third period, and his name seemed to come up a lot on the penalty kill, and they were Gordon Dean were singing his praises, but certainly on the score sheet and what I saw watching, I was waiting for him to appear and saw nothing.
Yeah, nothing special there.
Well, I was a little surprised because I figured that his weaselness, which he has been known for in the past, might come into play against people like Marchand.
It did not.
No.
So.
Yeah, who would have thought that Derek Brassard and Bobby Ryan would have more points from this series than Erik Karlsson?
Do they?
Brassard has
two
goals and 6 assists for 8 points. Bobby Ryan has 4 goals and 3 assists for 7 points, and Erik Karlsson has 6 assists.
That's unbelievable, eh?
Yeah.
I thought Stone and Pageau would have bigger impact. Now, I'm not complaining about them. I mean, they did score goals.
Stone's definitely hurt.
Yeah.
But they were also playing, they were putting Peugeot, Stone, and whoever was playing with them, oftentimes it was Hofton, they were putting them up against the Bergeron, Marchand line. So, I mean, they had their hands full keeping that line neutralized.
Yeah, because Marchand didn't do a thing.
Which they did, exactly. They did a beautiful job at that. And it's a little weird to think of two scoring wingers. I mean, that's Stone and Hofton, that's what they are. And Peugeot as a neutralizer. I don't want to say a shutdown, but like they neutralized that top line so much. Did they have their opportunities? Yeah, but they didn't do very much.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
The coach knows more than I do. Like I've said this before.
Cody Ceci, I think, started hot and then just dwindled real fast. Not a good series.
By the way, if you'd said a month ago that the people with game-winning goals in the first round were Phaneuf, Ryan, and MacArthur. Who would have believed that? Well, you could have made a lot of money in Vegas on that bet. Oh, yeah, for sure.
What, in the power plays at actually like 22%?
Yeah. Because it did work.
Sure as hell didn't feel like it.
Sometimes it worked. It didn't work all the time, but sometimes it did. So just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Well, reset it all, put it back to zero. It doesn't matter anymore. On to the Rangers.
That's exactly it. So between the Rangers and Montreal, and granted, yes, the people that like to have the rivalries and whatnot.
I'm happy.
I'd rather play the Rangers. Rangers, in my opinion, are much more beatable than Montreal.
I agree.
Gallagher was looking really good at the end of it.
And Radulov.
Yeah, Radulov is on fire.
And Price.
That's an interesting one. Radulov is. We'll talk about Radulov in Montreal in the offseason in another episode, but that's going to be the interesting offseason move for Montreal, in my opinion. What do they do with him? Especially how
this
long.
This GM's actually going to survive this, isn't he?
Probably, yeah.
Crazy.
Probably. Hey.
Crazy.
For every bad move you make a good one, and people like to remember the good ones better than the bad ones. Well, some do. It's not everybody.
Just no good ones.
Not everybody.
But, no, the Rangers' defense is old and slow. Mm-hmm. So we can probably pass through them either through those aerials.
Said this about Boston.
It worked. just by foot speed. Carried in foot speed.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to the series, to be certain.
Yeah, Zuccarello is great. I love Zuccarello.
You can Mika Zibanejad down for at least a goal a game or maybe a kicked in goal or something.
But Rick Nash is on fire out of all people.
Yeah. I think he's actually did very well in that series against Montreal. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We'll see. Do you want to? We have some email, do we? We might as well get to that because this was supposed to be a short episode and we got some long email to
you. You mistake my negativity, by the way, for just sort of this kind of course it is realism. There's an expression for that.
Oh, no. Your negativity is panic. It's absolute panic.
It's not Schadenfreude.
Okay. Nope.
I'll try to read this one out from Aaron out in
Sweden.
In Sweden. So late nights / early mornings, screwed up days. Hey guys, Aaron from Sweden again. I've written before about the hardships of following the Sens for approximately 5,800 kilometers away. Even more so in playoffs, in playoff times where the games are more or less must-sees. I just started up a cafe on the side of my regular employment. Very interesting. Good luck. Which is completely idiotic of an idea when the Sens are playing quite well and are headed towards maybe the next round. No jinx. Well, a little bit dated right now. So right now I cannot stay up to watch the games live. Thankfully, I got delayed streaming so I can watch the games along with morning routines. Win equals great start of the day. Loss equals start crap of the day. or crap start. Not anything I recommend. In Sweden, there's naturally been quite much focus on Carlson's performance the last couple of weeks. A performance no Swede is particularly surprised to see but yet happy about. Happy to see Carlson getting the effing attention rightly deserved in North America as well. Auto media channels are mostly excluded, but you know what I'm talking about. All that crap criticism some people tries to paste on Carlson for not being this or not doing that. This has been a huge season for Carlson, not only developing in the role as a captain, but also showing his true width of skills. But Carlson apart, a lot of NHL Swede media attention here in 16-17. Season, we've got 91 Swedes in the NHL, a player high as far as I know. That's a player high as far as I know. Of course, Lundqvist, you know, the goalie guy in America, is a frequent hockey headliner, but also our dear Zibanejad since he moved to New York. Then again, we got a bunch of them in Nashville, and in, well, 91 of them. Anyhow, from nothing to something, in the last 15 Norris winners, 9 of them have been Swedes.
Wow.
A lot of those are Lidstrom.
Lidstrom, though. Yeah.
Let's get that count in 10 and 16. I could write pages about Carlson's significance for Ottawa and the kind of heritage from Alfredson he is showing. But more talented writers are already doing that. Starting to do that. I'm just smiling and nodding along. I really hope you're reading this when you've knocked out Boston 4-2. Good prediction. In a couple of hours, we'll know. Either way, Sens should really make it through with this lead. Thanks for the show. Really enjoy the time. Take care, and until next time, best regards, Aaron.
Well, we kind of talked about that earlier. Nice email. Thank you, Aaron.
And Aaron, I want to add something here. You know, he's alluding to he's watching these games on delay at the start of the day, and a win's a great start of the day. A loss is a crappy start of the day. Is it really much better when you have to go to sleep and you're just pissed off?
I was just thinking that.
Like, or, no, it's easy to- or you've won and you're so excited you can't sleep. Like, either way, it's the same outcome whether you watch an end of day or beginning of day. It's quite a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Shall I read the next one?
Sure.
Okay, the next one is from Kevin. Hey guys, I've listened twice now and have enjoyed very much. A couple of things I'd like to hear some discussion on. Number one, will we see White in the lineup in round two, or is Guy Boucher too set in his mind with the veterans? And question number two is, why is Cody Ceci still playing? In my humble opinion, Harper and Clayson have surpassed him. Cheers, guys. Kevin, a.k.a. Keeper Guy on Twitter. Now, number one, will we see White in the lineup in round two?
Only if injuries happen.
I was going to say, only if there are some significant injuries. I don't see any reason for him to be put in otherwise. I don't.
Or desperation.
Not that I know about this. And again, this is why we're looking at when Stahlberg comes out, is it Wingles or Kelly? This is all about asset management. You want to replace what you're missing with something with similar skill sets.
Well, exactly. It's not just about, it's about making sure
not
the
just
role.
The role, because if you only have scorers, it's not necessarily going to work that great, which is one of the big problems with analytics, but we'll table that for now. So I would say if one of the top six guys come out due to injury, White comes in.
Yep.
White comes in.
Possibly. It depends on how the lines get changed, because where are you going to put the tops? Where are you going to classify as the top six? Because
that's Hoffman, Brassard, Stone.
Hoffman and Stone have been playing with JGP. Brassard's been playing with Ryan.
They're second liners. And then Ryan, Turris, and MacArthur. If any of those six get hurt, White comes in. And you can insulate it with Smith.
Ryan, Turris, MacArthur. Then who's been playing with Brassard? It's been
it keeps Brassard changing.
Yeah. Brassard and Pajot have flipped,
exactly.
But the wingers stay the same.
That's what I mean. It depends on who's playing where.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm thinking more of the wingers.
As long as it's his strong.
Okay,
hand,
if Pajot gets hurt, you put in White or do you put in Kelly?
I would put Kelly in because Zach Smith would be moving up to play that center role if JGP got hurt.
Well, if you're doing that, then I'm putting Wingles in, but.
Well, I mean, that's where you're there's right? So many combinations.
Okay. Now, if Turris gets hurt, do you put Kelly in or do you put White in?
White.
As a number one center.
It's not necessarily number one.
Or two.
Right.
Or two. I'd put him in as a two or a three.
You see, again, I'd rather move Zach Smith up and put Chris Kelly on the fourth line as the center.
Oh, I don't know about that. As I don't know about that.
Or JGP moves up and Zach Smith moves into the third line center role.
I think if it's for one game and you got Turris or Brassard out or Hoffman out, you'll see White.
We'll see. I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not.
But again, it's for pace of play. In my opinion also with this, Cody Ceci's still playing because we have no other right shot defenseman.
He might turn it around next season or series. So let's see.
Yeah, we'll have to see how the next round goes. Because
first round's over. He was not great. Reset.
Yep.
And we got 4 days.
We got a voicemail here. I can play.
He's got a real weird year.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you play that?
This was recorded before the Leafs were eliminated, so it's coming from a Toronto listener. However, it's playoff related.
Hey, guys. I just finished listening to the most recent playoff podcast. This is Sean in Toronto, by the way. Godforsaken Toronto. And this is what grinds my gears. I'm standing at the Exhibition Station Go platform, which is just above the CNE. And below, what do I see? But I look up, but there's this electronic billboard, and there's actually a billboard for freaking Dart Guy. Hashtag Dart Guy, it says. It's got a Twitter logo in the corner, and all it says is a picture of his mouth and his stupid blue dyed beard. So that grinds my gears today. Go Sens, it's game four tonight, and let's hope we can take it. Bye.
Leave it to the Toronto Maple Leafs to promote smoking.
You could tell that the Toronto media were running out of things to talk about, and I guess they were tired of talking to Austin Matthews' mother, so they found this guy and put him on.
Oh, don't worry. He got to meet Matthews' parents, too, at the game.
And he's from Sudbury.
Just so ridiculous, eh?
Yep.
So let's ridiculous. Take this. Granted, yeah, Matty Gosens go, and I had a little bit of fun with that.
Well, you know who was really happy about
Dart Guy? Dart Guy.
You know who was really happy about Dart Guy? The Toronto Blue Jays.
Distraction.
Now they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll
have they started other. Winning again? Probably not.
Well, they won once.
Okay, not really.
They only play 8 games a day, too.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Next.
No. Let's think about this for a second. You're a fan of your team. You're going to go watch them in an opposing team stadium. And, you know, you get the super fans that get all painted up and that sort of stuff. But for whatever reason, you thought, I'm going to sit through the whole game with an unlit cigarette in my mouth, and that's going to be my thing. And I'm trying to think what goes through your mind that leads you there, and I come up blank.
What could I get attention to myself with?
With the cigarette you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, the whole life.
The face paint is fine. It was just the fact that he had a cigarette, an unlit cigarette, just hanging from his mouth.
I just don't get it.
I think he just had the cigarette just because he was pacifying himself, really.
Weird.
Because he's a smoker, and you can't light up, you can't go out, so if just has it in his mouth, it might just help the addiction.
Well, you know what? If that's all it was, then okay, I think I understand it.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just ridiculous.
Did you see Glenn say they're doing his Dart Guy impression with the cigar?
He's been doing it since the 80s.
Yeah. That's pretty solid.
Okay. Next. Oh boy.
Let's get these emails. I'm running out of voice, so okay. I want to get this over with.
I think we just got one email that just came in.
There's
another
Bryce,
one first.
Bryce in St. Denis. Here we go. Go Sens, go. This is long, so this will take me about 15 minutes. Hey guys, my name is Bryson. I've been listening to you guys for a few years now from Bowmanville, Ontario. Is that close to Belleville at all?
Well, that's cool.
It's not that far. This end of the GTA.
Okay.
Just the side of Oshawa.
There you go. I'm excited for the second round to get started against the Rangers, and I like our chances. Agreed. I feel we match up against them much better than the Habs did. We are much stronger up the middle and a bit faster. That's true. I didn't even think of the centers. So happy to be rid of the Bruins and that rat who shall not be named. I can't believe how much Carlson has raised his game. I didn't know he could be getting even better, even with multiple fractures in his foot. I don't understand how some people can't just love this guy. There hasn't been much talk of it, but I really hope we can re-sign Stahlberg. I think he is the perfect depth piece for this team. He's fast, big, and can put the puck in the net from time to time, all while bringing some veteran Stanley Cup winning pedigree to our team. Just wondering what you would like to see the Sens do this summer once all is said and done in the playoffs, aka trades, signings, buyouts, potential deals we could be making with Vegas to protect some players we can't protect in the expansion draft. Now, I was at the double OT game 5 in Ottawa. Would have liked to see them win then. So my brother, who was attending his first Sens playoff game, could have experienced the roof being blown off CTC. Oh well, at least we still advanced. But I have a grind my gears about buying tickets to Sens games. Now, I don't know for sure if this is a thing. If it is, please say so I can look into it. But it grinds my gears that I can't select specific seats for games. Excuse me. For games. There's always a certain area I want to sit in, but can never get and would love to experience games in these seats. Sorry for the long email, but I've been meaning to send one in a while. Hope to keep listening to you guys into late May/early June. Would love to meet up with you guys at a game possible, if that's a possibility. Anyways, keep up the good work, boys, and go Sens go, #allin.
Ooh.
Great.
Now, can you answer the question about selecting seats and buying?
The answer is you can.
You have to go through the Ticketmaster, though, right? Yeah. Not the Senate site.
Well, yeah, it's the primary market, Ticketmaster, and just click on the map, and then you can get the map view, and off you go. Select wherever you want.
I was going to say, as long as it's not somewhere that you can't actually buy tickets for. Like, you can't actually buy tickets in somewhere like Club Bell.
No.
Sometimes. But no, you're right. I mean, you just whatever's available, of course. And supply is going to be low now. But yes, you can pick it.
Well, no, supply is very high right now. It's at about 10:15 tomorrow.
They're already on sale.
Oh, went on sale today?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was
tomorrow. There's probably still about 2,000 available.
Yep. Oh, there you go.
But they'll go fast.
For sure.
They'll go fast.
To his point about bringing his friend, I guess it was his brother attending his first playoff game, I sympathize with you. I know I brought my kids to home game one, and they'd never been to a playoff game, and I just wanted the roof to go off with a win. It didn't. But, you know, they're in the game. The atmosphere is clearly shown, and I'm sure he got to experience the pregame craziness, and it gets loud by times. The trouble with that darn Boston series, it was always so close that you're just the noise was a little bit reduced because you're so nervous.
Yeah, you were on edge rather than being all in. No pun intended.
That's a good one.
Wow, there you go. We got one more email to read. Canuck, you want to read it or shall I?
Yeah, no, I'll go.
Homer. Okay.
Homer just wrote in, I think, after we started recording here, so good timing. Yeah. His email is round 2, #allin. Well, we made it past Boston in 6, all close games, 4 of them in overtime. It could have gone either way, very similar to the series against Montreal a couple of years ago with much better outcome. Brassard is leading the team with 8 points and Ryan has 7. Who would have predicted that? Exactly.
Yep.
Was hoping more from Burrows. The playoffs are what we got him for. He might be playing injured, as many of the players are, I think. Carlson has 2 hairline fractures in his left heel. No one can deny that he's a big game player, but he's no Gardner, and I thank God for that every day. Wow. Not sure what to expect in the series against the Rangers. They really need to work on their power play. Goals are so hard to come by that you need to capitalize on those chances. In other series, glad the Leafs and Habs lost. Glad to see Edmonton win. Signed, Homer.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I think a lot of people are just like, you know what? Edmonton, Ottawa, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with Edmonton continuing on.
For sure.
Apparently they're leading the West to make it to the finals.
Yep.
Nashville's looking damn tough, though.
It's going to be, I think, the next round of the playoffs, because they've been, because there weren't any 7-game series, not one.
Mm-hmm.
And normally there are several in the first round. Teams aren't going to be quite as worn out.
Agreed.
For the second round, and they're going to have an extra little time to heal up, re-energize, etc. So it's going to be more like first round again, as far as energy and intensity. So it could be really fun to watch. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And as far as no Jay Gardner, yes, I'm glad he's not Jay Gardner too. Good one, Homer. Well played, nice. Sir. Well played.
So, predictions. Guess we'll start with who's in the West? Nashville, St. Louis.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Eh?
That's a tough one because
lunch pail teams.
And Nashville just handed Chicago, not their lunch, their butt.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
It's okay, that's my butt.
Exactly. Four and out.
It's four got a hole out. In it. Take it back.
Wow, that stinks. Anyway, I'm gonna pick Nashville in that one in yeah. six.
Okay, Canuck.
I'm gonna say St. Louis in six.
Okay, I like Nashville in six. Edmonton and Anaheim.
That one,
Battle of the Orange.
Two teams with very different playing styles, so it's going to be really interesting to watch whether. Big and bruising or quick little water bug loaded with skill. I don't know which one's going to come out on top. I'd like Edmonton too, but I'm not. Sorry, Kathy. I'd like Edmonton too, but I'm not. Rather like Ottawa suddenly turning up against Anaheim in the final.
I was just going to go there.
It's. I think that Anaheim may have the edge on that one. Even though Edmonton's used to playing in the Western Conference, I think still Anaheim might have the edge, but I'm not sure how many games.
I say NHL refereeing will ensue, and Anaheim should easily walk away with this in five.
Yeah.
I've got Anaheim in seven.
I wouldn't
it's
be surprised.
Just, it's I'd love they're to too close, them. But yeah, you've got too much experience in it's funny how for I think that Anaheim is experienced and San Jose is age, but... That's pretty right.
It's an interesting way of looking at it.
Yep.
Next. Now, Pittsburgh.
Washington.
Oh, I know what I want to happen, and I fear what's going to happen.
It could be as interesting as Pittsburgh-Philadelphia, but I don't think so.
No.
There'll be
no way.
It won't be as physical, but there will be as much energy. I think there will be as much energy because those two teams don't like each other. They just it's not going to be the dog's breakfast that Pittsburgh-Philadelphia can be.
It's Toronto-Ottawa in terms of rivalry.
It's getting to that because it's been, three times that they've already played?
Yeah.
Even in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's won every one or did Washington win one?
It won every one.
Pittsburgh's won
Wow. Pittsburgh, I still think, will trounce to the cup.
Well, there's this weird what if thing, the though. Break
was too long?
What's that?
What if the break was too long?
No, I doubt that's a problem. But there's this really weird thing where the Metropolitan Division is built to play the Metropolitan Division and not the Atlantic Division. The Atlantic Division is built to play hard against the Atlantic Division, but then we go up against the Metro Division. And, we did well against the Rangers during the season. We did well against Pittsburgh, sort of, during the regular season. Who would have thought? In Washington. I don't know. With the parity of the way it is, I think Washington team has been drafted and has been built to beat Pittsburgh. Having said that, I think Pittsburgh's going to run right over them.
I don't know. I think Washington is going to go down to Pittsburgh again.
Yep.
But I think it may take a while.
I think
it's not going to... Four or five series.
Yeah, I think people are looking at that Toronto series and thinking there's a problem with the Capitals, and I don't know. It all is reset now. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. New series, new rules. And last but not least,
Rangers Senators.
I like Ottawa's chances very much. Actually, I think it will be rather like this series. It will be. A seesaw. I don't think it's going to be a quick series. I think that there will be games where one team or the other has a definite edge. I don't like using things like momentum or whatever. I think there will be some games where each team has a very strong game, which is why it will take a while. But I think Ottawa will prevail over New York in the end.
I think it's going to go seven.
Yeah, that long?
So home ice is going to come in handy for that.
Oh, good thing we have it then.
Yeah, even though the Rangers do have the best road record.
But we have a good record in MSG. So
yeah. So really on paper, I would look at it, and I'm kind of 60-40 Rangers on this.
Yeah.
So again, if as long as the Sens don't get embarrassed, I'm probably going to be happy with the outcome. But Craig Anderson loves to play against the Rangers. And Lundqvist is not great against Ottawa.
We'll have to see. It's going to be an interesting series. I mean, entertain me is all I ever ask for.
And who doesn't like going to Manhattan?
Yeah, I know.
It's a fun place to visit. I don't want to live there.
Yeah.
It is a fun place to visit, but no, yeah. Thank you.
That's why I'm just staring at things right now, trying to price things out.
Well, yeah, it can get expensive pretty quickly, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any corporate training you can go down for?
No. No. That's great. So.
Well, if you want to take the train, you can from Montreal.
Oh, you don't want to do that, though.
No.
Beautiful trip through the Adirondacks.
No, I'm a big train fan, but I looked at that one before, and you don't want to do that.
I did, actually. I wanted to do it. I was planning to go down to see a game at Old Yankee Stadium before it closed, and the people I was planning on travel with bailed just as we were getting the travel arrangements finalized. I'm like, okay, well, so much for that idea.
It's an hour flight or an 8 hour drive, roughly?
Yeah, something like that. But then you got to park your car in New York, which is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Well,
by the time your car's been parked for a few days, you might as well have flown.
Park and ride.
Yeah. This isn't even a numbered episode. I didn't announce a number because I can't remember what the number of the last one was. So
that's what the internet's for.
Oh, okay. So maybe I'll number the next one plus two from the last one. We'd wanted to get this done because we had something to talk about that was pretty damn big. The Senators made it through the second round.
It only happens once a decade.
We're, not too often. Yeah. We're all traveling and all sorts of stuff. So if people don't hear from us for the first three or four games of the next series, don't be too surprised. We've got so many different things going on and being in town and out of town, I'm going fishing. Hooray. I've been waiting since September for this week, okay? It's a very, very big deal. I'm loving the fact that I'm going to be away for 3 or 4 days. And the plans have already been made that the road up to the lake where we're supposed to go fishing is likely underwater. And we may be able to get through with four-wheelers. We're not sure. And if we can't, then we're just going to take four-wheelers and go and find a different lake to go and fish in for the day. Because Friday is going to be 22 to 25 degrees.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day to be out fishing. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I got to watch.
Game day's going to be 25.
Yeah. Wow. I got to watch game one in Halifax. So I've already sent a note to the local, it's called HFX Sports, but it's kind of like a setup similar to those real sports place where the walls of TVs and kind of auditorium seating towards it. And I kind of asked them, okay, look, Thursday night, what game are you going to focus on? The Canadian team? Or are you going to focus on the local boy Crosby's team? Because I need to know.
Oh,
it'll be Crosby. Crosby all day, all the time.
You can just watch it on your phone, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, no, I'd go back to my
watch it hotel room.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Lots of places to watch it, but
room service is almost like sitting in a restaurant. It works. They can bring you food. No problem. So we don't know when we're going to be back. Hopefully I'll be in even better health than I am now. Much better than I was yesterday. But I've been coughing through this episode, something fierce. So I'm just happy my voice lasted the entire episode. I wasn't sure that it was going to. Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
Okay. This has been longer than we expected it to be.
That's what she said.
Oh, not bad. All right. Until we're back next time, let's look forward to an excellent second round of the playoffs. I'm Cardinal. On behalf of Pan and Canuck, thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Korvietsky's trying to run a little screen or a little pick on Brad Marchand. Marchand gets away with one here, Jack.
As the video shows, Marchand turns, opens up the blade of his stick, and delivers a forceful spear directly to the groin of Dachin. This is spearing.
Marchand, you don't have to be such a dog.